Hi, I'm Chanel, digital marketing specialist, marketing coach, and owner of Ninky, a strategy and content marketing agency that helps businesses increase their online presence and build their brand community. If you're a marketing manager, CEO, or thriving business owner, this podcast is for you. Ninky Talks offers marketing tips, insights, and advice from industry professionals who know their shit. If you dig the podcast, subscribe and share it. But for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Ninky Talks. Today, I'm talking to Kia. He is the co-founder and chief creative officer at Bacon and Eggs Media. Bacon and Eggs Media are based in Los Angeles, where they create witty, disruptive, not blah ad campaigns. And guys, they are super, super cool and impressive. I have to explain how I actually found Kia and found Bacon and Eggs Media. I was scrolling through Instagram, as we do, for hours and hours on end, and it's not actually often that I do feel compelled to stop my scroll to actually look at what I'm seeing. And I saw this, I didn't even realize it was an ad, it was just a video that looked really, really funny. And I started watching this thing, and it was brilliant, and I watched it all the way until the end. And it was an ad from Bacon and Eggs Media about their creative ad services and how they create these disruptive, witty comedy, not blur ads. And I was like, you guys have fucking nailed it. I was like, you guys are so good. So I messaged them straight away and was like, I have to get you on the podcast, because what you guys are doing is so different. And it's something that's so needed right now when it's so hard to cut through the noise of digital marketing. So I had to mention that I found you because you are very good at what you do, and that ad was brilliant. And I'd love to actually somehow get a link to share it in the show notes so everyone else can see it. But yeah, so that's how I found Bacon Eggs Media. Welcome, Kia. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Wow, I'm blushing by that intro. That was incredible. Well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. The work speaks for itself. So Kia, tell me a bit about you. And tell me about Bacon and Eggs Media. What's your background and how did you come to create this amazing agency?
Yeah, so I grew up kind of just being the kid that would pick my dad's camcorder and make things growing up, just whatever random thing I could make. And if I can convince my sister or friends to be in something, it was fun. And I did that all through growing up. When YouTube started, it was like, let's make sketch comedies. But I didn't study video. I actually studied finance in college in San Francisco. Started working at a programmatic advertising startup.
Yeah.
And from there, we were running a lot of content. And I was like, man, this content is not that engaging. It's kind of boring. And I can't believe the amount of money brands are putting behind it to run it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I think I can do better. So we started making some content, you know, kind of like a coffee shop thing, convincing friends to help out. And then eventually moved to LA. Partnered with an old friend of mine from high school that went to Chapman Film School, and we're like, okay, I think we have an agency and I think we can make good quality content now for brands, and convinced a few to help us get started, and it just kind of grew from there.
Amazing. I love that story, and I totally agree with you. You know, it's I just see really, really crap content all the time, but at the same time, like, I'd love to know, how do you choose who you work with? Because obviously you've got that sort of witty, disruptive style, but how do you get brands to adopt that? Because I feel like at the moment, especially with platforms like TikTok, brands are having to find a way, like they're having to fold entertainment into their marketing strategy in order for it to be effective. And I feel like if people don't embrace that entertainment aspect to their strategy, they aren't going to stand out. But not every brand lends itself to that entertaining style content, although I guess entertaining is subjective based on whatever you find entertaining. But how do you go about, like, finding clients, like firstly finding the right clients that are willing to embrace being a bit, you know, witty, and then also, like, how receptive are people to content that's a little kind of unique and better?
Yeah, well, I think really it's them that find us, and they're already open to it, which is the big step. It's like, are you open to work with an agency called Bacon and Eggs Media that obviously does quirky things? And if they come to us, they've already taken that commitment of like, we're going to do something different, and we understand what we're getting into. So it's kind of like an internal thing. I think brands and owners need to think about of, hey, are we okay to do this? And can we find the right team? Because we've had opportunities, and you know, brands that have approached us in the past are like, we love your work. Can we do this, but can we not make it funny and engaging? And we're like, what is, why are we having this convo anyway then? And those typically don't end up working out. But yeah, it's the brands, I think, that are like, hey, we have this brand book, this is our brand, and we can't go 10% outside of this, are the ones that I recommend to them. You can still take a risk, you can still do things that stand out a little bit. It won't change the perception of the brand completely. No one's going to see a funny ad and be like, you know what, I'm not giving them my money, they're no longer a luxury premium brand because they made me laugh. I think there's this like misconception that some people have, and yeah, that's generally, you know, what we do. And the ones that are ready for it, you know, we're ready to take it on and make something engaging that stands out.
I love that. And that's a real testament to your brand, because you're obviously attracting the right kind of people that you want to work with by putting out, you know, the way that you are. I would love to know a bit more about your creative process and how you take a client from, you know, beginning to end. What does that look like?
Yeah, so when they approach us normally, it's they're like, hey, they've seen some work, so they're very much trusting of us to come up with an idea. And so we'll spend, you know, about a week or two learning about the brand, what kind of content has worked in the past, what messaging has worked. And me, I don't like to get too much info, which almost sounds contradictory. They're like, take all this, and this is the path. And are you guys, is everything going to be on it? In our team, the way that we work, we're like, okay, we'll take this. And I think a few ideas will be, you know, in that box, but we'll also pitch some things that are like, no one's thought about. Let's just put things out there, and you might've never thought of it. It might not be part of this brand book or what you envision, but they'll see it and they'll be like, wow, I never even considered this concept. I think like one example of that, if you ever seen our Imperfect Produce ad, there's like this guy that looks like a scary gangster cholo guy, and he's pitching these fruits and vegetables because he's like really soft inside. And we had to like really sell him on this idea. They didn't consider it.
So
and we were building the brand, and their whole thing is it's ugly produce, but it's the same fruits and vegetables on the inside. So this guy is like, you know, people judge me by my outside, but inside I'm soft and sweet. And we were building the company at that point, where I was like, let's just do this. If you just allow us, like, we'll just throw this in. And so we did, and it ended up being like the top performing asset, and people love this ad. And the actor would call us and be like, I'm walking around the street and people are yelling at me, being like, hey, you're the strawberry summer salad guy. So
that's so good. And yeah. In the process of all of this, they could potentially be creating like an icon for their brand. Like,
totally.
So I love that creativity can expand so much further than just that individual asset. All the value can continue to happen after the ad.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of times it is thinking like, how do you embody the brand as a spokesperson? Which have been the case in a few projects we worked on. Like, we worked on this brand, Fancy Mirrors, and their whole thing was like, bad lighting is an issue. So this character was like the embodiment of bad lighting, and she was like running around destroying women's like bathrooms and ruining the lighting. So her costume and outfits were all wild and outrageous. And so that kind of turned into like a big character for them. And they kept it running through UGC content, through like produced content, and through different products. So yeah, like you said, it can continue on as like one concept or like a bigger long-term brand play.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, one of the things that I've always said is that like creativity takes space. So the biggest struggle that I have as like a creative minded person is you often wait for creativity to come to you. Like, I'll just have a moment of inspiration where I'm like, oh, that would be a really good idea for a film or for a song or for a melody or whatever it is. But when you're a creative person every single day, and that's your job. You have to train your brain to sit down and be creative even when you're not inspired. So that's really, really hard. Like, do you have any, I think there's two questions I've got you. The first one is, what's your turnaround time for like creating these concepts, considering that you do need space for the creativity to breed? Or have you just trained your brain to just be fucking awesome and come up with these ideas on the spot?
That's a good question. And I think originally starting out, it was similar. It's like, I need to wait for the shower thought that comes, and we can't send anything before then. But as you do it, you learn like it's a process, and with constraints, we'll get to a good idea by if we're sending it Tuesday by 9 a.m., we will have something great by Tuesday at 9 a.m. So you just learn, and like me and my partner and some of the other people, we'll put our phones and computers and everything outside, and we're locking ourselves inside this conference room until we have something great.
Love it.
And at that point, we might even consider 10 decent ideas. Like, okay, we have something on a piece of paper, and this will lead to another idea and something great, and people will build off of it. So it's about, you've probably heard this before, just get out a lot of bad ideas, just write anything down, and don't judge early ideas. I think it's something that we do. We're like, just throw it all out there. Ideas will come and go, and we're able to use that and all kind of work towards getting to great concepts and things that we can pitch and put out there to clients.
Yeah, and the best way that I can liken that experience is you're probably familiar with the 48-hour film project.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
exactly. You have to in 48 hours.
100%. So for listeners who haven't heard of that before, this is a worldwide project. I sound really Australian saying project. This is a worldwide project that takes place where the clue is in the name. You've got 48 hours to make a film. So you go to a public space, you pull out the genre, the line you've got to use, the name of the character, the profession of the character, and whatever else it is. It's genre, I said that. Then you've got 48 hours to make a film. So generally, you brainstorm your ideas on the Friday night. We try and get our script done by the Friday night, and then we shoot all day Saturday, then we edit all day Sunday. And that brainstorming process, exactly like you say, there are no bad ideas. And you always feel a bit silly going, well, what if we do this? And then you go, okay, no, I heard it. It came out of my mouth. No, that's not going to work. But then there's like a tiny piece of that bad idea that you can take, and then it kind of goes in another direction. And that's my favorite part of the 48-hour film project, is the brainstorming piece.
Yeah.
I'd love to know, though. Firstly, I'd like to know who's involved in that process. Like, how big is your team, and what do they bring to the brainstorming process? And also, how do you resolve any like disputes? Because obviously, when you've got to lock in an idea, like, is everyone on board, or who gets the final say, basically? Because we've had to come up with, when we do the 48-hour film project, say, well, look, I'm the director and the project manager, so everyone's ideas will get part of it, but someone has to make the final call. So do you have that as part of your brainstorming process?
It's basically whatever I say goes. I'm totally joking. I'm a very sarcastic person. So if this, they won't see the video.
But, well, they can leave. No.
So our process is, it's myself and Connor, who's our creative director, are the main people that do all the client interfacing and come up with the brief. And then we have a team of writers that are just amazingly talented writers as well out in LA. And so usually it's about like four or five of us on a project, and we'll create a brief between Connor and I and the client of, hey, this is what we need. And no matter what the concept is, this is the checklist. So we'll create like four checklists, which we found is very helpful to, there's a lot of rules and things that need to go into the concept, but if you can boil it down to a few of them after you read a concept, you say, okay, can it be said in 30 seconds? Does it, sell this specific feature, and does it make people feel happy? You know, whatever the checklist is at the end of it, we go through it, we check off the concepts. We're like, okay, it does all these. This one feels pretty good. But between all those, we all will come to it with a lot of ideas. And between all of us, we're like, okay, can we anonymously decide, rank these ideas? And then we'll kind of cross-reference our list and see what ideas come out on top amongst the group. And from there, we kind of start to whittle it down. And a lot of times it does come down to Connor and I of maybe deciding which one should make the cut. But sometimes he really likes an idea that I don't like, or vice versa. And at that point, we're just like, hey, let the client decide this one, you know. And
Yeah.
like, if you feel confident, let's pitch it to them. And I think the same way, me and him have this great trust between each other that, you know, if one of us is really feel strongly about something, then let's put it to the client and let's let them decide if it's the brand or not. And a lot of times too, it's even if it won't make the cut, I think there's ideas that will still impress clients. They're like, wow, we definitely, that's crazy. This guy in a funeral home is crazy. We've never heard it. It would never work for their brand, but wow, you guys are fucking genius.
Yeah,
So there's some that will just go to, you know, impress, or just to have them decide like, oh, I never thought about that angle and it won't work because of X reason. So this one definitely works and this one's actually a winner. So
awesome. It sounds like you've got a really good team and a good flow between you and Connor. And I have to ask, is Connor the guy with like the curly hair who's in a lot of
Connor
your
is like
videos?
the guy who is yelling at you in our ad, and
Oh, God, he's
yeah,
good.
that's it.
And is he also an actor? Because,
He actually started as an actor. When I started the agency, I casted him to do this project, and he really understood the tone of how I write and come up with ideas. So then I was like, hey, do you want to just help me like write something? I have this project coming up, and he's like, yeah, great. We started writing together, and then eventually I was like, I need someone full time. And he's like, I will come interview for this position. Just put me through it just like anyone else. And then he became full time and is now essentially like a partner in a Bacon and Eggs. And
Amazing. He's
I get to
so
use him
good.
for a full time actor. So
So he's still
anytime.
working as an actor?
He'll take on like, yeah, he'll still work as an actor and take on jobs that he wants to that hit his rates. I think he's no longer living the actor life of I need to take on any and all projects. He'll be
Yeah.
like, oh, cool, this is a big brand and it's an easy day of work and sounds exciting. Yeah, I'll consider it. And yeah, and I don't have a problem with it either. It doesn't really affect our schedules or anything.
Yeah.
And
Oh, amazing.
I tell him, you go become Ryan Reynolds and just take this agency with you. Like what Ryan Reynolds has done for his agency. Like we'll all win.
Brilliant, brilliant. Gosh, it really makes me quite jealous because Los Angeles is the place where all actors go, isn't it? And that was where I was supposed to be. I was a budding actress when I was little, and that's what I wanted to do for my job. And I still do it part time, but mostly I'm a theater actress. But it's never too late. I'm never too old. Well, maybe soon, but never
Well,
too late to
you
come
should
to Los
fly
Angeles and
down
act.
and yeah, come be one of our ads.
All right, perfect. Done. I'll put it on my business card. I'm holding
Yeah,
you to it.
bracelet.
I've got it
Send
in recording.
me your headshot. Yeah.
Amazing. I'd love to know, like you've already given two brilliant examples of some campaigns that you've done. And it sounds like you had quite not challenging. Well, no, the one about the produce, that's quite a challenging thing to explain to someone. Do you have any examples of where you've had to take something that's quite bland or quite unusual or normally considered quite boring that you've had to make quite interesting or different? Or what would be your best example of that?
Now I need to think back at some of these projects we've done. But
Or do you have a favorite one? Like, what's been your favorite campaign that you've done?
I feel like we luck out where a lot of brands and products we work with are usually, actually, I'll say this. I was gonna say they're usually pretty out there and they lend themselves to like some there's something interesting and unique about them. And I think that's what helps get to a good idea. But yes, we've worked with like an AC unit. That's one of my favorite clients that we work with, this company Windmill AC. It's like this beautiful AC unit. It's not, you know, you would never think an air conditioner is exciting, but they've done the D2C model and they've made a beautiful AC that works really well. And it lends itself to this content. And there's a way to tell the story. And I think we've approached it from an angle that's more like witty and sophisticated, and yet it's still on brand. And we have these like crazy characters. Actually, we did a project for them last year, and it was like this jazz type character and this whole vibe going on that felt very premium and luxury. It matched the brand, but it was still witty and comedic. Because that's a lot of times brands think like, oh, if you do something funny, it takes away from this premium product we have, which isn't the case at all. If it's smart, I think if the comedy is done in a smart way, you can do both. So we worked with Windmill last year, and then they came to us this year, and they're like, okay, so the brief is everyone loves how this AC looks. how do we show the AC predominantly the whole ad, but still make it engaging? So what we ended up just producing, and it just went live actually, is it's like the commercial starts out, it's supposed to be this, you know, super high end produced commercial. It's like this jazz instrumental, like musical almost. And this guy starts talking, and then they're like, actually, you know what? You spokesperson, move aside. Can we get back on the AC? And then we just show the AC for the ad. And this guy's like poking his head in, like, are you serious? I came all the way here and you're just going to cut me? And they're like, yeah, that's a wrap. And then you see all the band members starting to like walk across the camera. So yeah, I think it's like there's some products that are generally pretty bland, and you know, there's ways to make it exciting or tell the story in like unique ways.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. That's so good. So clever. And you're right. There are ways that you can have a little bit of comedy but still stay true to the inherent parts of the brand. And actually I feel like Ryan Reynolds does that really well. Like he's like quite a classy guy with his gin, but then he throws in a little humor there. I don't know if Old Spice is a fancy brand, but they do that too. Like, wasn't Old Spice, it used to be quite like a fancy, I don't know if luxury,
yeah, like
but
a
like
grandfather's brand.
Yeah, it was like quite a traditional brand, but then they came up with all of these campaigns with this guy being like, I'm on a horse, and all that funny stuff. So there are ways that you can do it. You got to be a real master, as you are, to be able to take a brand like that and just give it a little something to make it interesting and different.
Yeah, I think if it's not just like slapstick, like cheap jokes, you know, but thinking more smart about it, and like Ryan Reynolds, it's like dry, witty humor, I think can work with a lot of brands. And it's not always the easiest thing to write, and sometimes it could lend, but if you do it wrong, it could end up looking cheap and sounding kind of cheap and off-putting. But if it's done in the right way, I think you can both nail the brand feeling premium and luxury, and people leaving it and being like, wow, that was really funny, I actually chuckled at that, and I do want to buy it.
And then it's memorable. It's totally memorable.
Yeah.
Totally. So I'd love to know, do you guys do, well, actually, no, I'm going to ask you this first. What are some of the like most common questions that your potential clients will ask you?
Common questions. How soon can we get it? Can we get it tomorrow? Is the first question.
Of course. Of course it is.
A common question is like, this is an investment. Is it going to pay off? Are we going to make money or not? And that's always like the hard thing to answer, because, you know, people want to be salesmen. And if you talk to other agencies, it's like, of course, we do 20x ROAS, and it's like printed everywhere. But there are cases where sometimes there's a lot of factors, and there's the product, and there's a website, and there's a lot of things to this. So it's, hey, we understand how to make a great piece of content, and it can do really well, and you could use it on enough platforms, and you can diversify your spend where you should be able to pay this campaign off fairly quick and make a big return after that. I mean, some of our projects run on TV, on social, they'll boost conversion rates on the website. So there's a way to kind of make it all work. So I think the number one question people have is, you know, am I going to make a return on this? What does that generally look like? The second question, probably timeline. You know, people aren't familiar with this process and how long does something like this take? What's the budget like? That's probably the second one, like process, timeline, budgets.
ROI is also the most common question that I get. And it's hard when you're in the content space, because it is harder to measure beyond the metrics of like impressions and reach and clicks or whatever. Like, you know, people say that if something is working, you'll know it's working because you will start to see an increase in sales and you will start to see an increase in conversions, but you don't always know what the number one driver of that is. So it is difficult, especially because, you know, content can sell. You know, we sometimes, this is obviously very minuscule in comparison to the grandeur of what you do, but we'll sometimes put up like a Facebook post or an Instagram post on a client's page, and they'll suddenly get loads and loads of inquiries saying, hey, I want that kitchen that you just posted. And then we know, okay, that inquiry came from the post we put up. But content sits sort of for the most part at the top of the funnel, where it's just there to engage and to build awareness and to tell the story and to, you know, be memorable, especially if it's like a huge item that costs a lot of money that people don't make the decision to buy on the spot. So from my agency perspective, I'm still even trying to find like the best way to measure the success of the content that we produce beyond those initial metrics, because it's complicated, because there's so many other factors. There's your paid ads, and there's your Google ads, and there's your website, and there's your offline stuff, and there's your billboard, and there's your bus ad, and then finding a way to bring it all together, which, you know, obviously sits with the mother agency, the main agency, because it's difficult. Yeah. It's tough to measure.
It's difficult, and it only seems to be getting tougher, as you know, with Apple and everything cracking down. It's hard to track. We had one client that keeps running TV ads. We keep making TV spots with them, and they run with this company, Tatari. I don't know if you're familiar, but they do pretty cool stuff with TV buys. And I was asking them, I'm like, what do you guys see? What is justifying your spend into another TV campaign? Can you see the data on Tatari? And is it showing a positive ROAS? And he's like, the data is just not good enough yet. But the one thing we do track is post-purchase surveys. And a lot of people that come by the product and answer the survey will say they saw a TV spot. And that's kind of what got them familiar with the brand. And that's what, you know, got them to go search it and look it up. Which if they were just looking at just the pure analytical data, they would have never known that this was all coming from TV. But, you know, talking to customers and doing surveys, which you can't really do at like a massive scale. It's not like pick up the phone and call every customer, but a post-purchase survey, they were getting info to be like, hey, this channel is working really well.
I love that you raised that, because that is something that when I meet a potential client, like, or actually let me spin that around, when I talk to my existing clients, I'm constantly saying, well, did you ask them how they heard about you? Or saying, yeah, let's make sure we add that to your website before someone sends an inquiry, get them to tick a box of where they heard from you. It's such a simple, easy thing that all brands can do that doesn't require any pixels or analytics or tags or anything like that. Just ask the people when they come in the door how they heard of you, include it in an after service survey or on your website. That is, so if you're listening to this and you're a business, that's one very small change you can make that can have quite a big impact on knowing where people are hearing about you.
Totally.
So yeah, no, I love that. And what you also mentioned about the TV, you know, we still, you know, I think that offline marketing definitely has a place, but in your opinion, and it's going to be a tricky question, but if you had to pick, would you invest your money to build your brand in digital on somewhere like TikTok, or would you choose TV? Like, where are you seeing more ROI for your clients?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say, and it's kind of contradictory to what we do as an agency. If I'm a smaller brand, or not even a small brand, but if I'm like sub $1 million, I'm putting all my money into UGC and TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. You know, it's like such low hanging fruit. You don't need to necessarily hire an agency like ours to go. Sometimes if you're backed and you have funding, then sure, you can swing big, but you could do a lot of great stuff and get really creative and make great content, like low fidelity content, and put it all on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, do all that stuff until you reach a point where it makes sense to go spend money and create a huge brand awareness piece on TV, you know, go do streaming, because you can get so many eyeballs there for fairly cheap, but you might not need to do that until you're at a certain point. So if I'm launching a brand, you know, I want to think about creativity first, but do all that content in a way that doesn't need to be a big cost. So, you know, the UGC content, I'm doing all that. It's all on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, until, you know, the company is at a size where we want to go big and we want to cast a huge net. Then you can think about TV and streaming and, you know, out of home, different, you know, channels like that.
And, you know, brands are quite lucky, because back in the day, you were quite limited to where you could advertise, but now, like you say, you can go viral on TikTok. Not that that's all that TikTok is for, but you can you can do some good stuff for your business and for your brand just by being on TikTok and Instagram. We've just hit 33,000 followers on TikTok, and we're now getting inquiries from brands asking to be featured on our page. Yeah, that's my girl Morgan.
You,
nothing to do with it. Gen Z.
We need some tips. we don't spend enough time on TikTok.
You know what? If this warrants a trip to Los Angeles, if I've got to come, if I've got to get on a plane, I've got to fly to LA, I've got to spend a couple of weeks in LA building out your TikTok, you know, acting in your ads. Look, I'll do it. I'll make time.
Please.
I'll make time for it.
Well, yeah, let's make a trade. We'll put you as the face of one of our ads and you blow up our TikTok.
Brilliant.
Help us make content and stick to it. That's our problem. We never stick to posting.
Yeah, it's you've got to get into a rhythm. Yeah, and you know, some people say just post whenever you can or whenever you have the time, but that doesn't ever happen. So you do sort of have to go, okay, well, look, our goal is to do two or three a day. And volume is really important on TikTok. It's a content hungry beast. It wants you to post a shitload of content. So I will take you up on that.
Do you guys like automate it at all? Do you schedule posts out in advance?
We do for clients. For ours, we don't. So for our clients, we'll produce a batch of content, they approve it, and then we schedule it, and then we just check on how it's performing throughout the month. But for our own TikTok, we kind of do a lot of it on the fly. So we'll have an idea and we'll just shoot it straight away. And that's also the best thing of TikTok, is that you can just bash it out really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And some stuff does really well. Like we had one that hit 2 mil. And then, you know, other stuff just hits the thousands. And the best advice that I can give anybody who's going to jump into like TikTok is just post whatever, and you'll start to see what works and what doesn't. But the best thing you can do is just do it. And even if you get it wrong, you'll eventually get it right, but you won't know. And you won't know it's right until you just keep doing it. So
yeah.
When we started out, we were desperate to like go viral and get traction, and it just didn't happen. And then suddenly we found a little thing that worked for us, and now it works. So, would love to help with your TikTok. Kia, I could literally talk to you all day, because I am a creative person myself, and talking to another creative that inspires me just brings me so much joy. So thank you so much
for
your time. Please let people know how they can get in touch with you. And for the listeners, please get in touch with him, because he's amazing.
Thank you.
How can people get in touch?
Yeah, I mean, I think mostly on LinkedIn, Kia Zomorodi, Zomorodi. We're on Instagram, Bacon and Eggs Media. Those are probably the two main places that we're at. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, I think. Maybe not enough now, hearing how many times you post on TikTok.
Sounds like you're doing well anyway. So thank you so much for sharing your stories. And guys, I'm going to see if I can get some links to some of the campaigns that Kia's done so that you can watch them in the show notes. But it was a pleasure having you, Kia. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so fun. Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Ninky Talks. If you did, please review and subscribe. See you next time.